Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. Feels good that the Blues get their win. They needed that. Doesn't the broadcast team sound like they're having some fun too? We'll have the next 4 hours together, and with the next 4 hours, it also means that we keep things a little more flexible. The Thursday night to Friday morning, 314-436-7900. You can call and text that, also 800-925-1120. And it also means we're only an hour away from probably my favorite song of all time. Probably. Kanye West makes a visit to the White House. Everyone freaks out. Yesterday, CNN had one of the most racist segments I've ever seen on news networks. And we played that for you yesterday, too, during Don Lemon's program. It didn't really end today. Isn't it a little bit weird that they have to disagree with Kanye and they have to bring his race into it? Isn't it a little weird that they are somehow factoring in race when they bring up an argument against him? Isn't that a little weird to anyone else? So Kanye West was at the White House. It was a little bizarre, I guess. The CBS probably said it best, maybe just a little bit bizarre. But I can't say that if you're going to be Kanye, which he is. I mean, you don't stop being Kanye for the half hour or whatever he was inside of the Oval Office. I don't know how long he was in there. And he goes in and he does his thing and meets with the president. I can tell you that pretty much every other president would have done that in private if it was a celebrity donor of theirs. How many times do you think celebrities have donated to the campaign and they go and do a private dinner, private meeting, whatever it is? It happens a lot. So the president's meeting with celebrities and things. I was more impressed with Jim Brown after all of this. Did you hear his comments after? There's two things that I wanted to point out here from Kanye West. One, before we actually get into the things he said, part of the internet that really, I guess the things that I like about the internet, they noticed when he pulled out his phone. Now, there's a bunch of press all around him. And they can see everything. They're from different angles and circling, half circling all around the desk of the president. And Kanye pulls out his phone at some point to show the president something on his phone. I wonder if Secret Service was paying close attention, him grabbing something in his pocket. Like, they're on high alert for moments like that. So for anyone else, you just pull out your phone. Most of them are password protected. Your phone should be password protected. You punch in your password. Some people do the fingerprint. Some people do the face. I don't do either. I just do the traditional password. I don't really trust logging my fingerprints with the company I use, you know, the phone I have. Or I don't actually want to be logged for like facial recognition either. I don't really trust these tech companies. But he opens up his phone and he punches in a code. And his code was 000000. He did it real quick. Boom, 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 boom. And he opened up his phone and then he showed a picture to the president. But of course, since there was cameras everywhere, everyone took note that his password was zeros. Come on. Now, that is something you can make fun of, right? One person tweeted out, can't believe Kanye uses a case. One person said, hackers everywhere are just entering password 1234 into every one of Kanye's social accounts. I wonder what his, hopefully he changed his password by now. It's also worth noting that some people suggested he used his PIN after the face ID failed. And it's kind of funny, too, because another moment of this meeting was when Kanye West gets up and hugs Donald Trump. So one person pointed out, Kanye West hugs Donald Trump, a sentence that is true in 2018. Yes, it is. Oh, boy, isn't that something. One person, there was a One person pointed this out. I didn't know this was a thing. Producer Mike, you wear hats, don't you? Is it a taboo to machine wash a hat? I guess it is. One person pointed out Kanye obviously has had that hat machine washed. Vertical wrinkles on top are dead giveaway. There's no coming back from a washed hat. Hashtag grandpa. Okay. What I'm reading to you are reactions, what people said online that you can take as humorous. The things that have been said about him, not so humorous. Very nasty things have been said about Kanye West online as part of this meeting. And the part that we are, the part you should be most concerned with is not that people disagree with his stances on things, but they disagree with his stances on things because he is black. They bring his race into this. And how did we become so accepted to have blatant racism come out of CNN's mouth pieces for two straight days, and everyone's just like, oh yeah, I'm okay with it because I don't like the guy. I don't like the president, right? Why are we okay with that? I'm going to play some of the comments that Kanye actually said, and more importantly, I'm going to play Jim Brown's comments. He stole the show for me. He had excellent, excellent moments with the media after the meeting. Right before we go to break here, let's go to Mark in St. Louis. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I called last night, but I got disconnected. I was just telling, is that Ben, the producer Ben?
Producer Mike's in here, but Ben is comes in after midnight.
Listen, I was just telling Mike, this is, they're both using each other for their game. Donald Trump is using Kanye for some political part, and Kanye is using Donald Trump for some upcoming sneaker or clothing or new album. Listen, both of these guys are smart. Kanye is somewhat on the borderline of being a genius. His mom was a professor, so the guy can't be that screwed up in the head. Mm-hmm. And I think they're just pretty much using each other. I mean, Kanye, ever since he dropped the College Dropout album, he has been one of the most talked about rappers and entertainers. And he has to do something, Ryan, to stay relevant, you know? Because if you don't stay relevant, you don't make money. And once you fall out of the limelight, that's it. I mean, he went and married one of the most talked about females that I don't know what she did to become famous. I mean, and Trump, he doesn't want Kanye in the office, but what does he do to get some political points and to try and get some type of race type thing going, whether it's helpful or hurtful? Well, you get the most controversial rapper there is.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that they were using each other. Do you think that's they're using each other directly or indirectly? As in, they're not doing it, it's not a plan that the two of them hatched up. You think maybe it's indirect?
I think it's indirectly, but I think they're using each other indirectly. However, once they started talking, I'm thinking the wheels are turning, and Trump is probably thinking, oh, man, I can use this to do that, and I'm going to use Kanye. And Kanye is like, well, who is the most talked about and hated person right now? Oh, it's Donald Trump. So and you look at it like this, Ryan. Trump is the most talked about and hated person in a lot of folks' eyes. Mm-hmm. And Kanye is the most talked about, craziest guy in a lot of folks' eyes. So, I mean, there you go. It's kind of...
Yeah, I will say Kanye is maybe one of the closest things we have to a rock star. I look back at some of the biggest personalities from like the 70s and 80s, and they were anti-everything. Like, they were anti-whatever was popular. They were, in this case, if popularity is based on how much you hate Donald Trump in today's, Hollywood standard, then he's going to be anti that. So I kind of see it on that standpoint. But, I mean, there was other prominent people that had their opinions voiced while Donald Trump before he's actually sworn in, and Kanye was one of them. I remember they even brought in like Steve Harvey, for example, and he was criticized for talking to President Trump because he wanted to get his input about the HUD, how they do urban development, housing and urban development. And anyone that met with him all of a sudden had controversy around them just for meeting with him. So, I mean, they could be. I don't know if he's going to take the opinion seriously, which would indicate they're only doing it for publicity. But nonetheless,
he's not going to take Kanye's opinion seriously.
Yeah, but he took he took his wife's, Kim Kardashian's, opinion seriously, and that one woman was pardoned and put out of jail.
Well, I mean, once she got up, I mean, the thing is, when he has to do something, you know, okay, he let one person out of jail. You still got, I mean, thousands of people that could be and should be pardoned. So, I mean, and that's a start. One person is a start. However, I mean, you're dealing with two freaks here. Now, the thing about it, I like Trump.
Yeah.
You're dealing with a political freak, and you're dealing with a entertainment freak.
Right.
And I don't mean this in a very very negative way, but I think it. I mean, them two is like, man. They're like, how do they say it? Oil and water. They don't mix, but you need oil and water to run certain types of machines or whatever. So in some case, they do kind of work together.
Yeah, but, I am disappointed with the approach people are taking with this. And I'm just going to go back to the Bush presidency. And, you know, he had Kanye West where he did the stand up. And, you know, George Bush doesn't care about black people on the VMAs or whatever it was during that one award ceremony. If let's say this was the Bush presidency and someone like Kanye was having a chance to sit down with President Bush, I think the approach would have been different. I think people would have said along the lines of, maybe you can help change his mind and you can help the black community. Today, it's different. So if someone sits down with Donald Trump, the approach that we see from the CNN is completely different, which is this person's is crazy and his opinion shouldn't be listened to and he's a disgrace to black people.
Right.
So there's two different ways to look at this. Some people could look at it and say, maybe someone could get into his ear and actually do some good on these topics that need discussions, but they're taking the completely opposite end with it.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. I think they're both trying to fill each other. I think Kanye is trying to really see how President Trump feels about this prison reform stuff.
Okay.
You know, and then once he realizes and determines how he really feels, then he's going to flip the script.
Yeah.
And I think with Trump, you know, Trump is just going to see what Kanye has to say to get some of the black community behind him. And once he gets them behind him, then he's going to just,
you know, yeah, I don't know. The flipping the script thing, I don't see that happening, mostly because he's so hated right now. I think he loves that. And that's like the rock star in him. But I will say, too, Donald Trump does bring in people with different opinions. When he was debating pulling out of the Paris Accord, he sat down and talked to Al Gore for the longest time. So, I mean, he listens to people and he listens to opinions. All right, Mark. Hey, thank you so much for calling in.
No problem, Ryan. Thank you.
That's an interesting thought. Let me play some of the clips that Kanye said during this meeting, and I want to get some of your thoughts on this. 314-436-7900. That's the phone number, or 800-925-1120. Do you agree with Mark on this one? It's Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's drive time traffic, every 10 minutes, mornings and afternoons. KMOX.
Some people, maybe the left-wing media that we've seen so far, see Kanye West in the Oval Office as a sign of the impending apocalypse. Let me play some of the clips for you, okay? Okay, let's play some of the clips. So there's two things to point out that people on the internet are trying to legitimize their outrage with. Number one, apparently he swore a few times in the Oval Office. I think he said the F word, Kanye did. And they got upset because, you know, they were televising this on the news networks. So they had to go back and talk about how unhinged he was. Well, let's point out, too, Joe Biden used the same F word in the Oval Office as well when talking about, Obamacare during the Obama administration. So it's not like that's the first time. And keep in mind, that was the vice president of the United States. Someone also pointed out the conduct in the Oval Office. How could you let a Kanye West in there? Oh, the dignity of the Oval Office, which also it's been pointed out that Bill Clinton received oral sex in the Oval Office. So you want to talk about the dignity of that office? Go ahead. I think it's already been tainted. So here's what Kanye West said, and let's play a couple of clips here.
You know, people expect that if you're black, you have to be Democrat. I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrat.
So this is just the best of some of the things he said today. He had a 10-minute or so rant to President Trump. He took advantage of his time sitting in front of the president. So the pair were scheduled to discuss topics such as prison reform, manufacturing jobs, jobs for former convicts and reducing gun violence in Chicago, which is Kanye West's home city. Televised portions of the meeting gave viewers some insight into the discussion. This is from Reason's blog, Reason TV. Zuri Davis wrote this one up. West also spoke with advocates who believe that stop and frisk programs in which police detain and pat down pedestrians would cause, without probable cause, harm relationships between city governments and residents. So Kanye wore the red Make America Great Again hat. One person did point out that it looked like that it was machine washed. I didn't know that was a thing you weren't supposed to do. They make that sound like that's an old man thing, washing a hat. Are you not allowed to wash baseball caps? Put it in the dishwasher. What do you mean put it in the... You don't put hats in the dishwasher. That's like living the single life to the fullest, Producer Mike. Throw it in the dishwasher. I've never heard of that, put it in the dishwasher. But it looked like he was machine washing his hat, which he wore today.
You know, they tried to scare me to not wear this hat, my own friends. But this hat, it gives me power in a way.
I see what he's saying by that. When you do something and everyone is so obviously distraught over the fact that you're wearing a hat, you kind of feed off of that when you're a Kanye West type of guy. And you know what? I kind of would too. I told my wife that I should get a Make America Great Again hat and start wearing it just for the amount of people that would hate me for it, because I could feed off of that. She said, you are not going to do that for that reason. So I don't. I used to wear hats all the time when I was younger. But I like the idea of getting people aggravated over stupid things. He's wearing a hat. Isn't it funny how people can start pointing out your friendship is only dependent on the hat you wear or some of the political feelings you have? Let's look at this one, too.
I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I was connected with a neuropsychologist that works with the athletes in the NBA and the NFL. And he looked at my brain. It's equal on three parts. I'm going to go ahead, drop some bombs for you. 98 percentile IQ test.
Yeah, he's all over the place there. Some people describe when you're talking and you're just all over the place, it's kind of like one of those super balls when you go to the grocery store and your kid wants the 50 cents to go plop in that machine, crank the lever a couple times, and then the prize comes out. Sometimes you get a super ball, you bring it back home. What's the first thing the kid does? He spikes it like he's in the NFL, and the ball goes everywhere until it smashes something, and then you take the ball away. It's kind of like the super ball in a concrete room. It's just like all over the place. And he also mentioned his support for Donald Trump.
Trump is on his hero's journey right now. And he might not have expected to have a crazy mother like Kanye West run up and support.
That was one of the swear words he brought up during the broadcast. So a lot of people are upset. They don't like the idea that Kanye was in the Oval Office. They don't like the idea. But I think his message may be more than just the prison reform or some of the different topics, because ultimately, I don't think anyone's looking for Kanye to give advice on policy. The thing that strikes me the most about him is his experience of what it was like to show support for something that was the opposite of what the rest of Hollywood in the music industry would expect from you. There is a mob mentality. If you don't love Hillary Clinton, or if you show any support for any conservative value or whatever it may be, regardless if you think differently, they'll come for you. They'll come for you and they'll try to kick you out of that circle, ostracize you. And that has been the last couple of years, anything of conservative value for Hollywood. Same thing in the music industry. And it's a risk that a lot of athletes, it's a risk that musicians, it's a risk that the actors don't take, because they know this is what's going to happen. You're just going to be cast out and you're no longer allowed to be part of the club. There's a lot of different actors that have talked about how they've lost acting gigs and pushed out because of this. And they're not allowed to have these sort of statements without the repercussion of their own careers being taken upside down. And it does take some bravery to be a Kanye West, to be in a community that hates anything that is Republican and will only stand for anything that's highly liberal, and to come out and say, well, there are some good things here and I can point them out. He brought up, I don't know why someone was asking him about gun control, but he brought up the point about legal guns versus illegal guns. And he said, If we could focus on the illegal problem, that's what we should do. It's not the legal guns we have problems with. You know, and people go crazy because of the Second Amendment and the gun debate. You're not even allowed to show support for the Second Amendment anymore. And he brings this up during it. So I don't think he's ill-informed. I don't think that he is someone that is just, you know, crazy all the time, bouncing off the wall. Maybe, but what he is definitely not organized in the way he thinks. That I do respect him for being able to stick with his beliefs and not having to apologize for his beliefs. You don't see that. Normally, as soon as someone on the left comes out and says something supportive for a Donald Trump or even Republicans or conservatives, the first thing they do is their publicist or their image coach or whoever calls them up and says, you have to apologize immediately. This will ruin your career. Do you really want to give up everything for this? And then they normally backpedal and, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'll put my tail between my legs. I'm sorry for having independent thought on anything. Are you someone that listens to this Kanye and you think this is all nonsense? We had Mark call in right before the break mentioning that it was mostly a publicity stunt. I mean, it could be. I want to play for you what Jim Brown said. I'm really, really interested in hearing more from him. He's been outspoken. He talks about the NFL and the culture of the NFL today. And he had a couple of comments after this meeting when he was outside with the media. And I was clapping. Bravo for Jim Brown. I'm going to play some moments from him coming up, too. It was really put into the shadow because of the celebrity of Kanye West. But I think his voice definitely needs to be heard here. We're going to open up the phone lines, too, at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on KMOX.
Here we are on Overnight America, the big lunch meeting. It's just everything's gone out of control. The sad thing about all of this is when you watch some of the far left commentators, they have to make race the key factor in their reason for disagreeing. So you can take a principle and an idea on its face value, and you can disagree with it. But if you say the person is wrong because of the color of their skin, then you're a racist, right? Can we agree on that? So why is it okay when the commentators on CNN for two straight days will do this to Kanye West? I want to take some of your calls on this at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. In Illinois, Elvis calling in. Hey, what's going on?
Hello, Mr. Ryan.
Good to hear from you. What's up?
Okay. Well, first-time caller, and I'm not going to get on that, but first-time caller.
Thank you.
Listen, just talking about Kanye and using them unkind words there in the Oval Office.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go back in American history, you got Andrew Jackson, you got Andrew Johnson, you got Grover Cleveland, you got Woodrow Wilson, and you've got Harry Truman that would call a spade a spade, if you follow what I'm saying.
LBJ. You got the tapes of LBJ.
Goodness. Well, I forgot about the ultimate Nixon.
Oh, Nixon tapes. Yeah, lots of swear words from Nixon. Yeah, there was a lot
Nixon
of that.
Nixon would use them words that shouldn't be used to describe people.
Well, sure, that is the case, but they make it sound like this was the first time
this
has ever been uttered. You know, we're not saying it's excusable. I mean, you should have certain manners inside the Oval Office and respect and reverence. But what I'm saying is they make it sound like he was the first person to break that code.
Right, right. And if you had recordings back as far as maybe Washington and Jefferson, I'm sure they had four-letter words they used, too, when they stubbed their toes and things of that nature.
Yeah, they were not politically correct by any means. They called out whatever was on their mind. And you're right. There was no filter to that. No. Elvis, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good talk to you. Keep up the good work down there, Ryan.
Ah, yeah, I will. Look at that, first-time caller. Jerome calling in, many-time caller. Hey, Jerome.
Hey, well, you're pretty good. Thank you very much.
He has the name, man. That might have just been the name he gave for the radio, but it's a good one.
Great voice.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. I called because I'm so glad that great minds like Taylor Swift and Kanye West have chosen to be the ambassadors for the two main political parties. Because that means the third party is going to look like a genius no matter who they get.
Again, I look at I look at their ideas on face value. I don't take and adopt celebrity values just because a celebrity endorses it. You have to think for yourself. And I think that's the point Kanye is trying to make. I want to think for myself. These are my thoughts, and people are giving him a hard time for it.
And he likes fish sticks.
Yeah, you texted in, I don't need any more people hating me wearing the Make America Great Again hat. Enough people hate me already.
Well, yeah. I thought it was comical. So
yeah.
I also have, along with my comment, was very introspective and sophisticated. I have my Mike Anderson poem.
Oh, cool. All right, let's do this real quick.
There was once a guy named Michael who was bored by the 24-hour news cycle. Instead, he liked to wear lederhosen shorts and watch full contact sports.
That's not bad. I like it. Lederhosen. I learned today that he puts his baseball caps in the dishwasher to clean them. I didn't know that was a thing.
Ooh.
All right, well, good.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
While he respected point guards, pitchers, and jockeys, his favorite sport was hockey. Unfortunately for him and his new Croc shoes, a Stanley Cup had never come to his beloved Blues.
Mm.
Most years they get to the postseason, get lose for one or another reason. Nonetheless, he stays loyal. In every rally, he is the first to toil, be it with a rally flag or an inside-out hat, for he has been a Blues fan down pat. Alas, I think they may win in 2019, Mike. Oh, by the way, psych! Thank you and goodbye.
All right, good to hear from you, Jerome. Thanks. Nice poem there. All right, bye. You know, I hope this time next year, the Blues are the defending Stanley Cup champions. Wouldn't that be nice? Then the poem would have to be updated. Let me get to John, who's calling in. Hey, John, what's going on?
Well, not much. I could have done without that poem.
Ah, you missed out on the end. Yeah, producer Mike, I don't even know if he heard it, but go ahead.
I'm just kidding. It took a lot of thought to get to that, but I think what Kanye's trying to do, honestly, is what Black leaders have failed to do, especially representatives in the Congress and senators. You look at their districts. What is going on? There's nothing going on. It's the same old stuff. You look here in St. Louis. It's murders. What has Lacey Clay done to help the Black community here in St. Louis?
Well, that's something Kanye brought up about Chicago, because the shootings every weekend and the rates is just astronomically high.
Yes, and you know, when's it going to stop? But we got to remember one thing, and I'm a registered Democrat. We have to remember the great society that Lyndon Johnson brought in to do one thing and to get the Black vote, and that was it. And what did they do? It was money, money, money. We'll give you this, we'll give you that, we'll give you this, we'll give you that.
Mm.
And if you look back on the situation, it's got us nothing but problems.
Yeah.
But everybody fell for it.
Yeah, I had to look up the murder rate in Chicago real quick while you're doing that. So far.
But it doesn't matter what you look up. You just listen to anything and it's bad.
Well, yeah, anything that's coming out of, I mean, we're sharing a border with Illinois. I mean, we're right next to them. We see, too, the effects that it has on the people that live there.
But we have to look to Illinois when we just right here in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, we have it in St. You're right. No, we do have issues in St. Louis. We have a lot of issues.
Yes. Too many issues.
Yeah.
And somebody posted the other day, says, you know, oh, yeah, one person killed downtown as a result of a sport event. Well, that was one too many.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I think that who would you, I guess here in St. Louis, who would you say are the big leaders that are trying to make a difference? Because I can think of a few. But who would you say are the people that are the most outspoken for our city?
I think you just heard my answer. I don't
think there's anyone.
No, I really don't. Because I think I'll tell you who the person is really speaking out in this about everything that's going on, especially the crime, is Elliot Davidson, Channel 2 News.
I was just about to say his name. He has been tremendous. Tremendous. Yeah.
And he was there today and he says the Board of Aldermen have finally realized that there's crime in this town.
And, you know, the police chief, John Hayden, I think, has a good heart. He's trying real hard with the resources he has, and he can't get more support. And it's disappointing to me to see we have a prosecutor that won't trust our own police force. And we fight each other and we fight each other. And we can't do anything for the common good. It is. It's troublesome. All right. Hey, thank you so much for calling in, John.
Pleasure. Bye now.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you said Elliot Davis. I wrote down his name. That's the first person I was going to think of because he has been what I think is just excellent. Excellent when it comes to getting out there and making sure the stories are told. And I mean, I can think of other people too. There are some, Lewis Reed, I respect greatly, the president, the board alderman president. I think he's someone that has a good heart and has been trying. And I know that we have to do something on the policing side. In the strategies of John Hayden, even though he's only been in office for a little bit, haven't really paid off yet. I think if you give them the necessary resources, we can see more in this city. I think there's so much more we can do, but there's so much distrust. And it hurts us when the prosecutor comes out and says, oh yeah, if certain police officers bring a crime forward, we're not even going to look at it. We got some major issues in the prosecution side too. We get people that are not even being prosecuted that should be in jail, but that's a whole nother story there. We'll get a couple more of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
More local reporters, more local news. St. Louis's News, KMOX.
And as many calls as we can here. We're talking about the visit from Kanye West earlier, but I thought Jim Brown impressed me the most. Afterwards, he spoke to the media about the meeting itself, and we're going to play some of those clips too tonight. Let me get to Rich in South Bend. Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Well, I'm an old white guy. So I don't know Conway West from a bowl of chicken soup.
Okay.
I could care less.
Uh-huh. So,
but I'm going to paraphrase Michael Steele, the former chairman of the RNC. And in case you don't know, he's African-American. His sentiment was, it was a joke and pathetic. If you want his direct quote, he was on the 11th hour on MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the beginning of the show. So in the 10 minutes or so you got for news, look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking at, was the clip from TMZ, is that what they played on MSNBC? I just did a quick search for him, and there's a little video of him.
It was a direct interview.
Oh.
He was on he was on the 11th hour. He was on with Lawrence O'Donnell, and I also believe he was on with Chris Matthews. So you got about three or four live interviews. Well, it's no longer live.
Meaning 11 p.m., just like your Eastern time?
11 p.m.
Okay.
And that's also the name of the show, the 11th hour.
I gotcha. I'll look it up. So the joke meaning that the circus of bringing in a Kanye to the White House, that's the joke that's going on?
He thought it was pathetic.
Okay, yeah. So he can have his opinion on that, sure. He didn't bring up it was pathetic because of, you know, his race, did they? Like CNN's been doing for the last 2 days.
Michael Steele's African-American.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he didn't bring, he brought up race and a way of saying if the Republican Party thinks this is going to help, they're wrong.
Oh, okay. I don't know what the measure is going to be. I don't think that he's going to be represented well inside of that community if that's what they're thinking. It's going to be like an ambassador to the African-American community. I don't think the Republicans are really thinking that way. Do you think that's what they're trying to accomplish?
Well, what's his face out of Kentucky said, inroads, we're getting good. We got Tim Scott, senator from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. I like Tim Scott.
Michael Steele's head explode.
You don't like Tim Scott? I like Tim Scott.
No. It made Michael Steele's head explode because McConnell doesn't know what he's talking about because Steele said when he first ran, nobody gave it. Nobody cared in the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, when CBS News comes on, your local news, go on your computer.
And look up Michael Steele.
Whatever magic.
Magic, because I forgot you don't have a computer. That's right. Go find the magic.
I couldn't turn on a computer if Bloomberg offered me $1 billion.
All right.
And he would pay the taxes.
Uh-huh. Okay. I like it. All right, Rich. Good to hear from you. Have a great weekend, okay?
Sure. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me get to Todd over in Illinois. Todd, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I love your show. I think this is all a political game. Try to get that vote. You know what I'm saying?
So what kind of, what type of people do you think they're trying to draw in? Do you think they're drawing like the minority vote? You think that's, Kanye is going to bring that to them? But everyone's rejected Kanye for that, though.
I mean, he's going to bring it, you know, but a lot of these guys around here, like in East St. Louis and everything, they don't even, they vote Democrat straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what. If they had money or something like that, they might vote Republican.
Yeah. You think because of the tax reform and them trying to, you know, if they had some wealth
yes,
built
sir,
up,
I
let's
really
get them.
They're not getting no help no more like they did with Obama.
Yeah. You know? They feel that's the stance that the Democrats have taken lately, which is, you know, a vote for a Republican means they're going to take everything away from you. Or something like
right.
that. Any type of government
right. that's kind of scary,
entitlement.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. That's not a really good way to legislate. I think you have to look at each. What would scare me the most, Todd? And I have a conversation coming up with Dr. Michael Bussler. He's an economist,
okay.
and I had a conversation about him. When you talk about all of these social programs that are out there, if you want to say we need to do Medicare for all, and you want to do this, and you want to do that, and The argument's going to have to be, are you okay with your tax rate being 50 or 60% like you see in some of these European countries? So in order to accomplish that, are you willing to raise your own taxes up to 50 or 60%? And I think most people
right.
wouldn't be up for doing that. But that's what would have to
right.
happen for
right.
all of this to work.
Happen.
Yeah.
Everybody's already complaining about taxes.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, maybe he's speaking to that. Hey, Todd, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, thank you, sir.
And let me get to Bob. Hey, Bob, what's going on?
Well, I'm just driving home tonight, and I'm thinking about all the political correctness. You guys brought up Kim Gardner.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Gardner, we don't have enough money for police in our city. We're not going to prosecute the people driving around without expired tags,
right.
which, of course, have no insurance.
Right.
But we can spend $600,000 bringing in a lying a friend of hers from Harvard to try to prosecute Greitens.
Yeah. That
mayor.
That nonsense of bringing up charges to begin with. Yeah.
Our mayor is overmatched. She has no idea. Remember, she thought it was disgusting when they found the policeman not guilty, but she never read the verdict. We're so politically correct, and I want to tell you what it's done to our city. We just passed Detroit for the number one worst crime city in the country, and we just lay back, and the minute somebody says we ought to do a stop and frisk, we ought to get tough on this, oh, we're racist. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it's done to our city. I told the guy when I called in, I live out here in Ellisville, and I'm 65 years old. My dad took me to my first ball game when I was 5, and this is the first year 60 years later, I didn't go downtown for one ball game.
No.
It's a cesspool down there, and we can talk all we want. We can be politically correct. Now we have a black police chief who's done nothing. We have this prosecutor who's done nothing except embarrass the city because she's political. She's race and political oriented, and that's all she cares about.
Okay. Well, Bob,
we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We got to get tough and do something.
Yeah. I hear you.
I've lived here all my life.
Yeah, I get it. Hey, Bob, we got to go to break, but yeah, I will say I do support John Hayden. It's tough when you got 140 officers down in the political pressure of everything that you do is criticized. It's Overnight America.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.